Hello, and welcome to Albuquerque Theatre Guild's weekly podcast. I'm Mike Miller, and I'm your host. Join us every Monday morning. This is where we'll tell you what's happening in performance in Albuquerque. We'll keep a running calendar of shows opening and closing, and talk to interesting people involved in entertainment here in Albuquerque. This week, our special guest is Paul Bauer with New Mexico Young Actors. But before we get to Paul, let's look at what's on the boards and what's coming up. Florian Zeller's The Father, from the French version, translated by Christopher Hampton, opens this Friday, January 12th, at the Vortex and runs through February 4th. The Elite Kids Winter Showcase, Nutcracker Suites, comes to the Highland Theater for one performance on January 14th at 5:30. Q Solo, the fourth annual Festival of Solo Performances, opens at the Oxdog on January 12th and runs through the 28th. On January 20th, a panel of Albuquerque theater luminaries will share their experiences working in this very special theatrical genre at Sandia Prep. The program, titled Going It Alone, Solo Performance Acting, Directing, and Writing, is a one-time event at 3 p.m. The evening before, on January 19th, Palabolas arrives again at Popejoy for a single performance, and on January 26th, Albuquerque Little Theater opens a three-week run of Wait Until Dark. The Adobe Theater reopens after a major renovation with its 2018 season leadoff, the smash hit comedy Double Wide, Texas, on January 18th, and continues through February 11th. Auditions coming up include the musical Sister Act at Albuquerque Little Theater Thursday, January 11th. Yes, that's this week. Vocal auditions from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Choreography auditions at 8 p.m. The Mansion Players Community Theater are looking for a male singer for this year's Roundhouse Steps performance in late spring. For times and ticket information on any of these events, please revisit the Albuquerque Theatre Guild's website at www.abqtheatre.com. And now let's talk to Paul Bauer. So today we have Paul Bauer with New Mexico Young Actors. We're going to talk a little bit about your season, and thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
I want to talk a little bit about Paul first, though.
Sure.
How you got to New Mexico Young Actors, and what was the journey that you had along the way that put you in the position you're in today?
Sure. So I actually came to New Mexico 20 years ago now, 1997, and came out here to go to grad school at UNM, finished my degree in 99, and started working with Rick Nickerson at New Mexico Young Actors in 2004. I had spent a few years singing professionally, taking some contracts out of state and doing some different things. I was making more of a permanent residence in Albuquerque and was looking for some work, and he needed a music director. So I started working for him. The first production with New Mexico Young Actors was spring of 04, and it was The Magic Mrs. Pigglewiggle. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. Loved Rick. He was great, just full of energy, perfect for running a children's theater company. I had worked with children a fair amount in private lessons, just teaching voice and various things, but never in a theater environment. But I loved Rick, and I loved the enthusiasm of the kids and their talent, and I really liked seeing how they started, you know, at the beginning of the rehearsal process, kind of raw, kind of just learning the piece, and over a 2.5-3 month rehearsal period, they just grew into these amazing young actors and actresses, and then the product that we put on stage was fantastic. So really enjoyed it, and I kept it up as music director for about a decade. There were only two productions that I missed because I was still singing and doing a lot of other things, and I had to take contracts out of town. And so in that 10-year period, I missed two shows. But other than that, I was the principal music director. So 2014, jumping ahead 10 years, Rick calls me in January and says, hey, I'm thinking about retiring from this and giving it up, but the only person that I can see taking it over would be you. And So I, with hardly any hesitation, I agreed to do it, and then I realized what I was getting into. So we spent the first few months of 2014 talking about what the process was going to be like, how can we make the transition, just some very general ideas of what the company was about. I was still teaching at CNM. I still had a full voice studio doing a lot of other things, and decided that if I was going to take this over, I would have to give up a number of things because this is really a full-time job. So in consultation with the board of directors at that time, we decided that I would go on an apprentice contract in the fall of 2014, which I did. And I worked with Rick, basically shadowing him from August to December of that year. Went through a couple of productions, and that included Willy Wonka and the tour of Rumpelstiltskin. And then January 2015, I took over. Rick officially retired, and I became the executive director. So, so it's been now almost 3 years, finishing up the third year now, 2017. And it's been great. It's been quite an experience, quite a learning curve, a lot of work, but a lot of reward as well. So that's where we are today.
Describe the work a little.
Sure. Well, I mean, as executive director, you're kind of responsible for everything. That includes the financial side of the company. So making sure that everyone gets paid that needs to get paid, making sure all the bills get paid. So everything from your basic phone and internet bills to the office rent and storage rent and theater rent and all the contractors that we hire. We work with 20 to 25 contractors throughout the year, various artists in town, from stage managers to musicians, to lighting designers, set designers, costumers, choreographers, pretty long list, and everybody has to get paid, videographers. Some of them volunteer, which is really nice, photographers, so a lot of folks like that. And then the marketing side. Really, I'm the only one that handles the marketing end of the organization, so everything from printed materials to web presence, website design, and update and maintenance of the website, all the various online postings, including some hard advertising that we do with various publications in town, and then other media outlets will do interviews at local stations when productions are coming up. So there's the marketing side of it. And then there's personnel, which I touched on a little bit. And then there's programming, scheduling the shows, right? What are we going to do? We usually schedule about a year and a half in advance. So I've already got 2018, 2019 scheduled and programmed. So we already have our shows announced and what we're going to be doing. Grant writing is another one, looking for funding. That includes grants, that includes fundraising. So we've started merchandising a little bit. We have various items that bear our name and logo, and so we're looking for more of those things to get out and create that kind of a presence as well. In addition, I direct the major productions, the musical and the play, so that involves casting and staging considerations. Selling tickets to the shows, making sure that the venues are booked and scheduling and all of that. So it's really quite a lot.
When do you sleep?
The audience has probably fallen asleep at this point, but, you know, there's a lot of work. So running a theater company is no small task.
Right. And, of course, Albuquerque Theater Guild is helping to promote what you do.
Absolutely, yeah.
Talk about the theater a little bit. What's its purpose? What's its premise? How does it do what it its mission is to do in Albuquerque?
Right. Theater in general? Or
The company.
Oh, sure. New Mexico Young Actors. Well, we are a children's theater company. We take kids ages 9 to 19. And as I touched on before, I took over from Rick Nickerson, who started the company in 1979. So we've been around now. We're in our 38th season, and our goal is really to educate the community, primarily youth and children, in the theater arts. And we are looking to develop relationships with our students, their parents, teachers, schools, and the community as well. So we want to have a presence. Our goal is to have a positive impact on children these days primarily. A lot can be learned through theater, as this audience I'm sure is aware. Many things. You know, we see our kids come in and many of them have you know, various things that are difficulties in their lives. And we find that through the theater arts, they're able to face some of those challenges a little easier. You know, sometimes they're able to overcome certain things. Sometimes we'll have kids who have physical challenges, and we're able to work with them and see how they can find something in their lives that is positive and that's going to, you know, give them something that they can really look at and be proud of and feel good about themselves. You know, a development of confidence we see in a lot of the kids. You know, parents will come and say, you know, Johnny was so shy, and now he's talking all the time, and he's making all these friends, and he's a lot more outgoing, and he's just opened up so much, and you know, so just developing confidence in front of people. And I mean, you know, to get up in front of a group of people and sing a song, or even say lines that you have memorized, you know, our audiences are anywhere from 200-400 people to 650 people at the Chemo Theater. And that's a big deal. You know, not a lot of people can do that, let alone when you're 10, 11, 12 years old. So it's a, you know, it's an important thing. You know, we introduce kids to a lot of the literary classics as well. You know, we do the fairy tales of Hans Christian Andersen and the Brothers Grimm, and we do pieces by famous authors such as, you know, Willy Wonka and James and the Giant Peach. Roald Dahl. You know, what we just did, L. Frank Baum's Oz, you know, his story, and many others. So, you know, we're introducing kids to great works of literature, giving them a lot of skills that they can use beyond just singing, acting, and dancing, mm-hmm. you know. So I think that's kind of our mission, our goal as a company.
How do you know when that's been successful?
It's a very good question. It's almost as though I'm rewriting my grant here because they asked the same thing, right? So we, first of all, I think it's successful when the children have, first of all, when they have a positive experience, okay? And that's expressed by their own remarks and the smiles on their faces. The joy that I see in them when they're performing, after the performance, the energy that surrounds a particular show. We also know that we're successful when we have many alumni who come back and want to work with the company. They want to be a part of New Mexico Young Actors. There's a bittersweetness when kids get too old to be in the company anymore, you know, or when they transition into high school or out of high school and they have to leave. They can't be a part of the productions. But then it's always gratifying when they give me a call 6 months or a year or 2 years later and say, hey, do you remember me? Man, I'd love to come in and volunteer, or I'd love to come in and do some work, or maybe I can just offer a class, you know, maybe I can teach something. They've gone off and majored in theater in college or whatever, and now they know something and they want to come back and share it with the kids, you know. And we have a number of folks like that. I mean, our secretary, Lee McGill, she's been with the company for 10, 11, 12 years, and she started as a young actress, and she's still working with us. In fact, just recently we were talking, she said, you know, I think just about the only thing I haven't done with the company has been on the board of directors. I mean, she's done a little bit of everything. And there are many other folks that I could mention. I think that's one of our, one of the ways that we can measure our success. You know, if we had students who left and never came back or didn't want to have anything to do with us anymore, that would be something different. And you know, folks support us too, and the support we have from the community. You know, I think in the past couple of years, I've been able to increase our individual contributor level. So we're getting contributions from individuals and from various corporations as well as grants. I've added a couple more grants to the list of grants that we're receiving. So, you know, obviously I think we're putting out something that's quality, something that's good product that people want to support. and they want to be a part of. So,
well, let's talk about your program for audiences.
Yeah,
that's what we're doing, is attempting to promote audiences.
Yeah, absolutely.
See your shows. How do you select what you're going to put into a season? You remarked that you are, you know, a couple of seasons ahead in
Sure.
your selections. What goes into that process?
Sure. Well, that is actually, for me, one of the most challenging parts of the job, because there's so many factors that you have to consider. Okay, number one, it has to be something that's right for children. Okay, the material has to be right for them. So it can't be adult themed. It's got to be something that they're going to enjoy, something they're going to have fun with. We usually do comic material, just because the kids are going to enjoy that. You know, it doesn't mean that there aren't serious elements in those pieces, but for the most part, we're doing comedies. So that's the first consideration, of course. It has to be right for the kids. Now, not only in the thematic side of it, but it has to have the right number of characters. So we can't have too few characters, because we have a pretty good enrollment and we have to have roles for all the kids. And it can't have too many, particularly for our touring shows, because our plays we take on tour and we can't have 20 kids carting them all over the city. So we have to limit the casting to our plays to 9 to 12 cast members generally. So that's a second consideration, is the size of the cast. And then the third consideration is the overall length of the show. So it can't be too long. We can't do a two-hour musical. The kids just aren't going to be able to handle that at this point. So our musicals are generally from 60 to 75 minutes. We try to get around that 75-minute mark. So it's a little more than an hour, but any more than an hour and 15, it gets a little bit long. And then our plays, we try to keep it about 50 to 55 minutes, so just under an hour. You know, part of the reason for the length of the musical is because we perform at the Chemo during the day for school groups that come down, and they're on bus schedules and school schedules, and they can't be at the Chemo too long, and so we really need to keep it at that length. And then the touring plays, any longer than an hour, and we start to run into scheduling problems with the schools as well. So we found that 50, 55 minutes is about the right length for the play. And then, I guess, what are we at now? Fourth consideration, something like that? I want to do material that's going to appeal to the children, either, as I mentioned previously, something that is of a fairy tale nature, that is from children's literature, okay, something by a well-known children's author. I like to also look at pieces that we haven't done, which is always fun for me and I think for the kids. But it's kind of tough because we have 38 years of material and we've done a lot of things. But I like to try to find things that we haven't done, new material. For instance, we did Silver Secret in the spring, and that was a pirate story, and it was a lot of fun, brand new piece. We're doing a piece that was just published in 2014, this coming spring. From Hair to Eternity, it's the Rapunzel story, and so that's going to be a lot of fun. It's a pretty recent piece. So when I can find something that's hot off the press and, you know, that we can do, that's always fun as well. Another thing is there's so many princess stories that if I can find a really great children's play or musical that doesn't have a princess, then... To me, that's great. And it's nothing against princesses, but we just do a lot of them, as you can imagine, okay? And we have a lot of girls in our program as well, and so the princesses always appeal. But when I can find stories that don't have that, you know, kind of, you know, the Cinderella, Snow White, you know, the princess, it's always kind of rewarding and something a little different mm-hmm. at times as well. So, and I say that. Here we are in the spring. We're going to be doing Aladdin with Princess Jasmine and Rapunzel. So sometimes you just have to do it. But
sometimes you have to do princesses.
That's right.
What about the princes?
The princes, hey, that's wonderful. And I love doing princes. You know, I need to make sure I have boys to play the princes. Now, you know, many times we've had girls to play male parts, and that's perfectly fine. But our current enrollment ratio is about 9 to 1 girl to boy. Mm. So we're always working to get more boys in the program.
What do you have to do to see that through?
Well, one of the things we've done is we've instituted a small tuition discount for boys. So if a family enrolls a boy, they get a little break on the tuition, and that has worked as an incentive. This year we've seen an uptick in the boys, mm-hmm. in the number of boys that we've had in the program. So that's great. And I think also, you know, it comes back to the programming and the material that we do. You know, boys aren't going to always want to be in the princess stories and these types of things. The pirate story I thought was a wonderful play that appealed to boys, and we had several boys in that one. We just did The Emperor's New Clothes, and we actually had quite a few boys in that one as well. The emperor was the title character, you know, and so we cast two different boys in the role of the emperor.
All right. Well, knowing that story, how did you get away with doing that on stage in a schoolhouse?
Right. Right. Well, you know, that was, of course, the big mystery, and I was hoping that would be an enticement to audience members to come out and say, "Oh, I wonder how they're gonna stage this at the end when he's supposed to come out without any clothes." You know, it was really very simple. We just had him come out in a pair of long johns, and it was great, and it worked well because throughout the play, all the characters are in these elaborate costumes with these colorful robes. It was actually set in Japanese kabuki style, and so they've got these colorful robes, these elaborate costumes, and all of a sudden at the end, he comes out in just plain white long johns. So he was fully covered, but it had a great effect because all of a sudden, surrounded by all this color, here he is in this very bland white, just plain white. And so it was effective. It always got a gasp from the audience. And I mean, he is in his underwear, even though it's long underwear, you know, but he was fully covered. So it worked out pretty well.
What are some of the challenges that you face working with young people? 9 to 19, that's a pretty good spread.
It is. It's a wide range of ages. There are a number of things that we address. We try to maintain a fairly disciplined rehearsal and classroom. Sometimes it doesn't always work, but you know, we want the children to listen and to pay attention and not to be chatting with their friends. These days, the cell phones are a distraction, you know, and it seems like they're getting younger and younger when they start acquiring their phones, you know. So they're often on their phones, and we ask to put them away, and sometimes I have to confiscate them for the rest of the rehearsal. But, you know, we try to maintain just a focus and a discipline in the rehearsals, and even if, as your audience I'm sure understands, in a theater rehearsal, you might not be working with all the actors at the same time. There may be a rehearsal where many actors are sitting while you're working a particular scene. And even in those situations, I ask the actors that aren't engaged at the moment in terms of a staging to still pay attention because there are things that they're learning. And oftentimes in a staging rehearsal, I will turn to the full class or the full cast and I'll say, "Look, this is a technique that I'm employing right now in this particular scene, and this applies to all of you. Even though you're not on stage at the moment, this is something that we can consider. How do we make this cross, or how do we affect this particular technique, right? What are we going to do with this particular prop, and how does it work in this situation versus this situation?" So sometimes I'll address the entire class in a situation like that. And, you know, it's remarkable. Again, I go back to when I first started with the company. You give the kids a project. You give them something that has a goal. And in theater, you have a hard deadline. Right? I mean, look, we open on this day, and it has to be ready. Ready or not, here we come. And you give that to the kids, and they always end up stepping up to the plate. It's just remarkable. I mean, there's always that one rehearsal where you think, okay, well, this is the one where we're just not going to make it. You know, this is the show that's going to completely tank. And it never does. I mean, it's that rehearsal, but then things pick up, and the kids bring it together, and a lot of times you have to have that conversation and say, "Guys, look, at some point this is not my show. This is your show. And you have to take ownership of it. You have to take responsibility for it." And having that conversation with them is very useful and very helpful. I mean, because the kids don't want to do anything that's not quality, right? They want to put forward the best show that they can as well. Mm-hmm. And it's another reason why we wait until 9 years old to start. We want the kids to be able to read, number one. Mm-hmm. And we want them to be mature enough so that they can take instruction, so that they can, you know, not goof off too much in rehearsal. We don't want it to become just childcare or, you know, and it's not that kids younger than that can't learn theater technique. They certainly can. But we find that 9 years old is a really good age for us to start. And the other part of that, Mike, is once the kids get into the teenage years, of course, we have kids coming in that are 9 and 10 years old, and then we've got kids that are 16, 17. It's great because those kids will become leaders to the younger kids, and they'll become role models. Mm-hmm. And it's just fantastic to see that happen. And a lot of our teenagers, they will have been with the company for several years and really be pretty experienced at that point. They understand how we work and New Mexico Young Actors and our productions. And so they'll just become leaders to these young ones that are just coming in fresh out of Drama One. So it works out pretty well. But, you know, sometimes it can be a little tough. But, you know, man, the kids are just adorable. And they're so much fun. And, you know, at some point it's just, you really feel like you're making an impact. I mean, when they're young, you still have the opportunity to influence, mm-hmm. right? And they haven't become too jaded yet. So it's a really nice opportunity.
That feeds back into what you were talking about, developing the confidence
right.
in these kids.
Mm-hmm.
Not just to go up and perform, but confidence in their life in general.
Yeah.
The audience doesn't know, but you and I have this little secret that I've been videotaping the organization since the early 2000s. And it's just an amazing experience for me to come in once, twice a year, and then the road shows and see these kids as they progress
right.
from how in the world did that little guy get on stage to, oh, my God, look
right.
at him now.
Right.
And so it's an important consideration. What do you see as the important successes of the program since you've taken over?
Sure. Well, we have grown, I think, as an organization. You know, our budget has grown and increased a fair amount, not hugely, but we've grown in that area a bit over the past couple of years. Our enrollment has certainly grown. This year, both in the spring and fall, we had over 65 enrolled in the program. And so the first 2 years, we had under 60. In fact, there were a couple of semesters where we had about 40 to 45 total, and that includes both productions and then also our drama classes. So we've increased, you know, a good amount in enrollment this year. I'm hoping that continues. In theater, you just never know. And in what we're doing, you know, it's tough from semester to semester, but I'm hoping that we can keep it up around that level and continue to grow. I think that's a wonderful success. We have expanded our tour as well. Prior to my taking over, I think the tour was going out 3 to 4 days. This fall, we went out 6 days total. And that was with two casts. So it was actually more work for me and my assistant, but it was less work for all of the kids involved because we had two casts. So they actually went out 3 days each instead of 4 days total. So we've expanded there. We have upgraded our website. We have redone our logo in the past couple of years. There have been a lot of upgrades. I mentioned earlier the grants. We've seen a lot more grant funding coming in. More individual contributors as well are getting to know our program. Our brand, I think, is getting to more widespread. I think the merchandising end of things is helping that. I have big goals. I have big goals for New Mexico Young Actors. I didn't get in this for small change, you know.
Okay, so what are some of those goals?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I look at other companies in the country, such as the Seattle Children's Theater Company, Children's Theater of Minneapolis. These companies are recognized really around the country as being some of the finest children's theater companies there are. As Albuquerque, are a much smaller city than those cities that I mentioned. But I think we can grow to be close to that. I'd like to see that happen. I'd like to see our enrollment continue to grow. I'd like to see our budget increase more. I'd like to see us get into our own theater at some point. Because right now we're working out of the Chemo, we work out of the North Fourth, which are great spaces, and they work really well for us. And the management of both of those theaters are wonderful. They support us very much, and they've been really great. But I would like to see us get into our own theater. And yeah, it's a kind of a long-term goal, but why not? You know, got to have goals and got to work toward it. So, I'd like to see us get there at some point. Just continue to grow, continue to expand, and build our audience base as well. I know I'd like for everybody in Albuquerque to be talking about New Mexico Young Actors. So
that's quite a high bar.
Sure it is.
That's good. So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the season. What's on tap for New Mexico Young Actors this year?
Sure. Well, thank you very much for asking that. So we are in the middle of our 38th season, and we just finished this fall the musical Oz and the play The Emperor's New Clothes. And moving into spring of 2018, we will produce Aladdin Jr. at the Chemo Theater. That's going to be in April. That, of course, is a musical, and it is based on the Disney movie that came out in the early 90s. So it's wonderful music. Of course, it's Disney. It's a wonderful story, full of lots of color and great songs. It's going to really appeal to the kids, and I'm hoping the general public as well. We produced this show in 2010, so it will have been 8 years ago. So it's a reprise for us. And then the final production of the season, we do four productions every season. The final one is From Hair to Eternity, which is a straight play. And as I mentioned earlier, this is a new play, fairly new, came out in 2014. It's the Rapunzel story, and it's a comedy, and Rapunzel just, in all of her long-haired glory, trying to find her way out of the tower with the prince, who can't seem to get himself out of trouble. So that's going to be our play, and we'll be on tour the first week of May, and then at the North Fourth Theater on May 2nd. So, and I do want to also say, for those listening, that a lot of people think, well, it's children's theater, maybe it won't appeal to me as an adult. And I tell you, we've had so many adults come to us. Many of them are parents and grandparents and so forth, but they just say, this is just such quality. And I would encourage anyone out there who just enjoys theater and is thinking of the next generation, or just enjoy seeing kids on stage, come out and see us. It's really, I think what we do is pretty good stuff. We use a live band at the Chemo, and that's one of the things that I am trying to do as well with all of our musicals, is have live musicians. There are things to be said for singing with a recording track, but I think having the live music there makes a big difference. And so that's one of the things that folks can look forward to and enjoy in our musical productions as well. So we use professional lighting designers and sound engineers and set designers and costumers and choreographers and the list that I went through before. So they're really seeing, even though it's a children's production, they're seeing a lot of professional work on stage as well. So
it's also my experience that the shows, even though they are geared toward children and done by children, have some superior writing a lot of times, so that the adults are entertained as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I find myself laughing quite frequently at some of the really bad puns.
Right, like absolutely.
Hair today, and what is it? Hair? What's the
from hair to eternity?
Yes, the Rapunzel.
Sure.
From hair to eternity. But there'll be a line in there, and watching some of these kids deliver,
right?
It looks like they played the Borscht Belt stand-up comedy forever,
right?
Because they just have perfect timing and perfect delivery.
Yeah. It's great.
And the punchline. So it's been a pleasure, I tell you, being involved with it that way.
It's a delight. I mean, sometimes, as we talked about a few minutes ago, sometimes working with children can be tough, but it's also very delightful. And specifically with regard to what you're saying, you know, when you see a kid who, you know, he can get up and he starts to develop the comic timing, or he just starts to develop the delivery that works, you know, the projection in the voice, or the look at the audience at the right moment. It's really great. You know, it's really rewarding to see that.
How about a peek at next season?
Sure. Let's see if I can remember it. 2018-2019, fall of 2018, we're going to be doing the musical The Secret Garden, and that is a new one for us. We have not produced that musical before, although we have done a number of pieces by this creative team, Bill Frankur as the composer, and I believe Tim Kelly is the lyricist, or at least wrote the book. Tim Kelly and Bill Frankur, they've written a lot of pieces. A lot of their work is published by Pioneer Drama Service out of Colorado. We use a lot of their work. It's just excellent for children. The music is fantastic. What I enjoy about Bill Frankur's writing is he incorporates a lot of variety into his scores. I mean, in Oz that we just did, boy, there was a bluegrass song that was followed by a 40s swing medley that was then followed by a blues song. I mean, it started with this 70s disco track. I mean, it was just all over the map, you know, with the different styles. I mean, it had a gospel choir in there, you know, this gospel song, and it was just great. So the variety is really cool, and I think we can expect that in The Secret Garden as well. Let's see, what is... I wish you would have warned me. I would have brought my list. Well, the musical for 2019 is Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to do that musical. And I chose that because we haven't done it in a while. I think it was 2011 when we produced that. And it's also very popular with children and audiences alike. They just released the live-action movie recently that came out. Saw that with my family, and so it's kind of timely. That story is kind of making a resurgence in a way. So that'll be fun. The play in the fall of 2018 is The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. So that's going to be fun. And it's a story that I've been wanting to do for a while. We've had the script in our library, and I have kind of tested some of the scenes out in our drama classes. This past summer, we had our summer workshop, and we did a scene from it, and I really liked it. I like the story. I think it's a really cool story. And I think it's going to be a real hit with the kids as well. It's got a little bit of a scary element to it, which actually the timing will be great because it's just after Halloween that we're going to produce it. So that'll be fun. But it, you know, it's still for kids and it's still going to be fun, even though there's that little bit of a scary element. I think it'll be just enough to keep it exciting for the kids, but not give them nightmares.
Yes. That's a good thing.
Yeah. And then the fourth production is, it's going to be the Frog Prince story. Mm-hmm. The Frog Prince of Spamalot.
Yes.
Is the name of it. So
a rewrite of both stories.
Again, going back to another Hans Christian Andersen popular fairy tale.
Indeed.
I think it's Hans Christian Andersen. Yeah.
Indeed. That I remember seeing that when my son played the frog.
Nice. Nice.
Years and years ago.
He was practicing his riveting around the house.
Indeed he was. Indeed he was. So it sounds like a great time. Great season coming
up.
A lot of fun for the kids, a lot of fun for the adults and the parents. Tell us about the Institute.
Yeah, so we just really talked about the productions, but the way that we structure our company is really through drama classes. So we have, for students who come in that are brand new, they have to start in Drama 1, which is an introduction to acting class. So we feel that all of the new students, they take a semester of Drama 1, basic acting, they learn basic technique, and they also work on some scenes and develop a little presentation and program for the family and friends at the end of the semester. So all the kids have to start there, and then when they complete that class, they're automatically put into the advanced drama program if they decide to continue with us. And we call it advanced drama class. And the focal point of that class is the major production. And the production can be either the musical or the play. So once they go into advanced drama, we have three rounds of auditions, dance, acting, and singing. After those auditions, then I do the casting, and I cast the kids in either the play or the musical based upon the needs of the production and the talents of the kids in their audition. One of the things is we do not allow open auditions. In other words, we don't just open up to the community. Those that audition have completed Drama 1. So, you know, they're kind of already in the company, and it's becomes kind of a family in a way. And the other thing that I think is special about what we do is we don't cut any kids. If they complete Drama 1 and they audition, then they are guaranteed to be in either the play or the musical. We don't cut any kids. So we always give them an opportunity. Now, they're not always going to get the lead roles. They're not always going to get the best roles. But they will be in one of the productions. So that's one thing that we do. So what we have then, basically our semester starts January 3rd, which is a Wednesday. And that's the beginning of our Drama 1 classes. And then auditions for the advanced drama students start the next day on January 4th. And then we have a second Drama 1 class that will begin January 5th, and that's Friday, that first Friday of January. So we do structure the program in 18-week semesters. The spring is 18 weeks, the fall is 18 weeks. So that's how we work it. As I said, for the advanced drama program, the focal point is the production, but we have training that continues even after the production closes. We'll invite guest instructors, guest artists in the area to come in and teach classes and offer some training as well. And we are a tuition-based program, so the kids do pay to be in the program. But all of that training, all of the production, all of that is included in the tuition that the kids pay. The next opportunity for new students to come in will be our summer program, which would be June of 2018. And so this is a time when a lot of kids take advantage of it because it's just 1 month. Instead of an 18-week semester, which we essentially draw out through the academic year, it's an intensive workshop in the summer. And so everything that they learn in those 18 weeks is condensed into 4 weeks in June. So instead of meeting once a week, we meet every day, Monday through Thursday. We don't meet on Friday in the summer. But for the month of June, we'll have classes every day for 4 weeks, Monday through Thursday. And again, it's just a condensed, intensive workshop. And we generally offer the drama class, so Drama 1. Kids can knock that out in the summer. And we also do a musical theater workshop. And so kids, whether they're beginning students or in the advanced drama program, they can take the musical theater workshop. And we'll just do like a little theater review. We'll do some songs from various shows. And we sing every day and dance every day, put a little show together, and do that at the end of the month. So it's pretty cool. It goes fast. I mean, meeting every day is different than meeting once a week. So we call it an intensive workshop. And great opportunity for kids to jump in, knock out that Drama 1 prerequisite, and then they'll be ready to audition in the fall.
How can the kids find you? How can the parents find you, the volunteers?
Absolutely, yeah, thank you. The best way is to go to our website, which is nmyoungactors.org. NM as in New Mexico, youngactors.org. Go there, and the rest of our contact information is there, as well as our upcoming seasons. Latest news, our newsletters are published there, and other information about our company you'll find there as well. You can always give us a call at 821-8055. The area code is 505, and that's 821-8055. You can email us at info@nmyoungactors.org. You can always stop in and say hello. We're on San Pedro in Manal, 2701 San Pedro Drive Northeast, Suite 21. And we're generally there Monday through Friday, 9 to noon. And feel free to knock on the door and say hi. We like having visitors. Gets kind of lonely there sometimes when I'm by myself.
We're talking with Paul Bauer, Executive Director of New Mexico Young Actors. Paul, thank you very much.
Thank you,
we'll
Mike.
We'll have you back as you get closer to an opening and promote some tickets for you.
That'd be great. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That does it for this week. Join us again next week as the Albuquerque Theater Guild's podcast will keep you up to date on what's playing and bring you special features like performance interviews and a bit of insider knowledge. Next week's guest is Lee Kitz, the director for The Father at the Vortex Theater. Until then, go see some live theater, and we'll see you right back here next week.
A thrilling change,
a wondrous place for